On this week's Back of the Grid, more big news as Nico Hülkenberg finds his new seat, and also some bloke called Adrian wants a new job. Hello everyone, welcome to Back of the Grid. My name's Chris, and yes, that was the same joke I made when Lewis Hamilton signed for Ferrari, but I don't care. Joined as ever by Tom.
Hello.
And by Stu.
Hello.
Oh dear.
If it ain't broke, reuse it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've been saying that about our ranking system for like 5 years now, so
yeah.
It's basically the entire podcast at this point. It's been a busy week for a non-race week. We'll dive straight in, I guess, with arguably more significant news than Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari, which is that Adrian Newey wants to leave Red Bull.
I genuinely think this is a bigger story than the Hamilton going to Ferrari thing.
Yeah, like, you look at the place he's had in the sport over however many decades, like, he's got more world championships under his belt as a designer than a lot of drivers combined, I think. I don't know the exact numbers, but it's an awful lot. Nothing official yet from Adrian Newey or Red Bull, but it was Auto Motor and Sport who first reported it to a normally a very reliable source, and then Auto Sport and the BBC independently verified it as well. So it's pretty much a guaranteed real thing. The BBC went a little bit further by saying that it's the allegations against Christian Horner, how the team handled that, the internal power struggle, all of that, which has been the catalyst for all
just
of this.
Drama.
He's had enough. He just can't be doing with it all anymore.
Washing his hands of it, can't speak.
Yes. Which begs the question, like, what's next for him? What does he do? I mean, well, I guess we'll get the boring answer out of the way first, which is he might just retire.
Ugh, that
which is possible.
So
but it's so
possible.
Boring.
He's 65, so
Also wouldn't be the first time he's tried to retire from Formula One, to be fair.
Well, yeah. This is the thing. He did it before and then got bored and came back, so... Yeah.
I think
like
the number of people...
rush too.
You do get a lot of, like... I think the career... The design career in Formula One lasts a lot longer than pension age. You know, like,
yes, for sure.
They tend to keep going well into their 70s. They're really good designers, so... Yeah.
Yeah, and he clearly
I don't think he's retiring.
No, he clearly still loves it. Like, he's there every time he's at a race. He's there with his notebook and a pen, walking around taking notes. So,
and he's got unfinished business, man. He's got so much unfinished business in the sport.
We know he's got a contract until the end of 2025. I presume he's got a pretty sizable gardening leave in his contract as well. But the BBC seem to think that he's got ways he can negotiate his way out of a lot of that to potentially work for another team as early as next year.
Oh, wow. You read the whole article then. I didn't get that far in that.
Which begs the question, where's he going? Where does he go?
And here we are. in the meat of the podcast.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the most exciting answer is Ferrari, as the Ferrari, Adrian Newey, Lewis Hamilton, Uber team to like bring Ferrari back to championships.
Not forgetting Charles Leclerc as well. Charles Leclerc qualifying in Adrian Newey car, it will be a sight to behold, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already excited for the Hamilton-Leclerc qualifying battle, and I think having Newey sprinkled on top of that as well would be very exciting. I mean, I did see one report today trying to claim that Adrian Newey's wife has been, like, out in Maranello looking at houses, which is almost certainly nonsense. Like, anyone's trying to find any angle to make this true.
Yeah. I mean, get ready, because the internet is just going to be full of that kind of article for as long as it takes Adrian Newey to decide whether or not he's retiring, wherever he's going. So, yeah, that's going to be a really fun, engaging bunch of articles for us all to click on.
Because he's openly said that he's had the chance to go to Ferrari in the past, but ultimately he turned it down because it would have involved him moving to Italy at a point when he had younger children. Obviously, his children are very much grown up now, so that's not necessarily a factor for him. Maybe a move to Italy is more...
There's more grandchildren to think about, I suppose. Now. Yeah, he's also... His wife has legit been on Twitter and said that he has said to her himself that... And this is his wife talking, so why would you... Why would your wife make something up about you? It would be a very strange behaviour. That his only regrets in F1 are not working with Ferrari, not working with Hamilton, and not working with Alonso. So...
Well, you can tick two of those boxes very easily, can't you?
Yeah, yeah, you could. You know, I mean, like two birds, one stone, really, yeah. really easily there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Alonso comment is just adding fuel to the fire that the other option is realistically Aston Martin, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that's... I would say right now, I would put that as equally most likely. I'm not sure which of those two options is more likely now, but obviously Aston Martin, he'd stay in the UK... Papa Stroll would just throw all the money in the world at getting hold of him.
Yeah.
It's very much a team on the up. He would be continuing to work with Honda, who he's obviously been working with for a good number of years now. They're moving to Aston for 2026. Brand new wind tunnel. There's a lot at Aston Martin I think would be appealing for a guy like Adrian Newey.
But I think, you know, you can say the same. I think you can say the same for both of them in a lot of respects. Like Ferrari are a team on the up. They would throw so much money at him to get him on board. After the years they've had sort of struggling a bit with their car, I think any team, if really any of those top teams, you know, McLaren, I don't know if you'd go back to McLaren, but your top five teams, and maybe even throw Audi into the mix as well, like everyone is going to be just absolutely throwing... everything at it to get him. I think it's a blank check, isn't it? Like the man can do whatever he wants. So it's who can afford
it? With a new rule set on the horizon as well.
Do we still have the high profile team member exclusion when it comes to all the budget cap salaries? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, yes. It's the top two or three earners, I think, of which he currently is. Well, yeah, I think he still counts. Because technically he's a contractor, I think, at Red Bull, isn't he? But I think he also still comes under that, possibly.
I mean, would not want to hazard the arrangement that they have.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what numbers they're fiddling to make.
I'm sure
work.
Someone in the comments below will be able to enlighten us on the specifics of Adrian Newey's contract with Red Bull.
Anyone else? Any other teams you think might be a likely destination for him?
I mean, literally, I could go down the grid, and there's reasons, I think, for every single one. I mean, we could go through each team if you like. Let's do that. So let me just get all the teams from me, because off the top of my head, I can never remember it. I'll forget one. We'll start at the bottom. Alpine, absolutely desperate for someone. Do Renault have the impetus to pay the money for someone like Adrian Newey? Probably not. And are they an attractive prospect for someone like Adrian Newey right now? Definitely not.
No.
So I think we can rule out Alpine.
Yeah.
Williams, potentially an interesting project for someone like Adrian Newey.
Yeah. Returning to one of his first teams as well. Again, I think pretty much nobody that was around when he was there before he's still there, but that's probably positive knowing about the reasons why he left Williams in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, if you read every autobiography I've read about people who've worked at Williams at some point in their life, don't often have positive things to say about it. But that is from, you know, we're going back a few years there. I think they're a different team now to what they were when the people I've read about were there, but still... It might not necessarily be an attractive prospect for him given his time there.
I think
even though he did have a great time there.
I think right now Williams is too much of a long-term project for him right now.
so we can rule yeah. Williams out. Sauber slash Audi, you know, like I was saying a minute ago, Audi have got the money for it.
Yeah.
And yeah. a brand new team in Formula One to sort of, well, not strictly not necessarily a brand new team, I suppose they're buying Sauber, aren't they? But for all intents and purposes, a new team in Formula One, a new project for a car manufacturer, who better to get that off the ground and get them sort of hit the ground running, I guess, to use the opposite analogy, than someone like Adrian Newey. I think, you know, he's got such a huge reputation to, you could really, really fight your way into the top sort of five, year one, year two, if you've yeah. got Adrian Newey designing your car.
The interesting thing with Audi is, on paper, it's very similar to when he joined Red Bull. It's a big company coming in, buying a pre-existing team that are towards the back of the grid and then building them towards the front. Does he want to do that same thing again? Or is he at this point, does he want a different challenge? Like, he's done that. He's done come in sort of effectively a new team, building yeah. from the back to the front.
Yeah, well, he did that in the Leighton House years. That's, you know, his yeah. initial foray into Formula yeah. One. The Leighton House eventually became the. This is one of the few occasions on this podcast where I actually know what I'm talking about. so he designed the Leighton House that was just suddenly like the envy of the field for the most part, other than sort of your absolute top teams. And that evolved. You can see, if you look at that Leighton House car, you can see the evolution, how it yeah. turned into the Williams that was just all conquering with the magic suspension. And even from that car on, like through the years of Jaguar, etc., you can see how like his designs have just like, there's a clear like thread through those designs. Like, it's really interesting yeah. to see how he designs cars. Where were we?
who haven't we mentioned yet? Obviously, RB are off the list.
Yeah, RB, no good. Red Bull, obviously, he's leaving them.
Which kind of brings us to...
Haas?
Eh.
I just don't see it.
Can't see an interest in Haas.
That's the exact same situation as Alpine, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
I think...
Not enough going on there to be of interest to him.
Yeah, no. Well, I think he needs a team that's got good infrastructure, and yeah. all the teams that we've mentioned so far, their infrastructure, other than maybe Audi, when it does happen,
yeah,
the infrastructure is just not there because they're constrained by the budget cap, the operational yeah. budget cap. There's the sporting budget cap and the operational budget cap, and logistical budget cap, if you like, and they're really limited on. This is what's, you know, killing teams like Williams and Sauber, is that they can't spend the money on putting the resources there to get them to match the team. So although there is a budget cap and they can match them on spending, they can't actually match them on development because some teams have got things like transparent floors to run in their wind tunnels and stuff like that, so they can actually see what the air's. And this is legit. Like, they do have that stuff. And yeah, if you don't have the infrastructure in place to manufacture those kinds of things, then someone like Adrian Newey is not going to be able to do his job properly. So that he's definitely going to want a team that's really well set up and really able to
yeah.
give him the tools that he requires to do an amazing thing with a Formula One car. So that leaves you with sort of your... does leave you with your Astons, your Mercedes, your Ferraris, your McLarens, doesn't it?
That's about it, I think. And I can't yeah. see Mercedes, I don't think, either.
It would be the ultimate coup for for Toto Wolff, but I don't really see it either. I think obviously Adrian kind of stayed out of all the rivalry nonsense. He's always been sort of in the back room. You know, you don't really the only time you see it, he doesn't give many interviews. You don't see him getting involved in many of the politics of the sport. He's there for the art form almost, isn't he? He's there for the design. Yeah. He's there for the technical aspects of making a car go fast. He's not there to, you know, shout down other people's designs and slow them down politically. He just, if anything, he's there to admire other people's designs. That obviously was competitive, but he wasn't like a politically competitive person. He was happy to do the design work and analyze other people's design work and then move forward that way. So yeah, the rivalry between Red Bull and Mercedes might not necessarily be a factor, but it just doesn't really feel like a fit, does it? I don't know. There's something intangible about it that just makes it not feel quite right.
Yeah.
And it's hard to point towards exactly what that is, but it just doesn't feel right for some reason.
Yeah. Strange.
I think we are back to Ferrari or Aston, really, as the realistic options.
Or retirement.
Or retirement. That's boring.
But that's boring.
There is another potential implication, which is... we've forgotten one team that Discord have mentioned a couple of times, and that's Andretti, which is... That would be a coup.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
They've first of all...
Got to get a team first.
Yeah, they need to be a team in order for him to go there. Yeah, they're not... Well, I suppose you could argue that they are a team because they're setting up an operation, but so far that's technically all they're doing. Like, they have to be awarded an entry into Formula 1 to become a Formula 1 dream. And they're currently a Formula 1 dream, not a Formula 1 team. It would... Don't get me wrong, it would be nice. Like, I'd be the loudest cheerleader for another Formula One team, or maybe even more Formula One teams. Maybe he goes off and starts his own Formula One team. Who knows?
Nui
F1.
Yeah, that would be rad. I would love that. Nui just starts his own Formula One team from scratch.
That would be
and
good.
Just wrecks shop. That would be amazing. But of all those options, Ferrari and Aston, you're right, Ferrari and Aston seem equally likely to be the way he goes to me.
I think I agree.
Yeah.
So then, which one then? Which one? Do you put your neck on the line, where's he going?
Of the two, I think I am leaning towards Aston being more likely right now.
Yeah, I think with the amount that the team of Ferrari will be paying to have a team of drivers like Hamilton and Leclerc, there's only so much they're going to be able to spend on someone like Newey. Like, the advantage Red Bull have always had is the fact that they're paying one superstar driver and one backup driver. That's it. I think Ferrari paying two top tier drivers could limit what they can actually offer, even with the whole exemptions for the certain high paid people, that kind of thing. I think that
rules aside,
it might just be a bit too much
financially.
It might be a bit too much of a stretch, which then makes Aston Martin the more realistic option in that regard. But I think if that doesn't come into play, and it's equally possible for either team to have him, then I think Ferrari would be the thing that appeals to him most that he would choose. I think out of those two options. So if there's no rules, there's no money, and there's no any other obstacles, basically, that mean both teams can put a valid offer forward and him seriously contemplate them, I would say that Ferrari would be probably his choice based on things he said in the past. But I think that there might be certain things that might limit what Ferrari can offer, meaning Aston Martin are able to put like a more viable offer on the table, which means he ends up there realistically. So it's like a head answer and a heart answer there, I think.
Yeah.
And amongst that somehow.
I agree with you. I think there. I'll put it straight out there. My heart says Ferrari, my head almost says Aston. But. Yeah. I don't think money is necessarily a huge thing for Adrian Newey either. I think the allure of Ferrari might be enough to pull him in without necessarily offering him more money than Aston.
I think what's putting me on the other side of the fence is that for all the positive changes Fred Vasseur is making at Ferrari, they are still a very big, cumbersome team with lots of very entrenched processes and ways of working and positions and stuff, whereas Aston Martin are very much, we have this big brand new facility, we have all this budget, come over here and just, you can have whatever you want, we will build the team around whatever you want. Like, I think Aston Martin will just give him whatever he wants to go.
But I think Ferrari would do the same. I think you could say the same thing about when Adrian Newey went to McLaren and worked for...
you could.
What's his chops?
Ron Dennis.
Ron Dennis was notorious for being strict, regimented, you know, everything being pristine 100% of the time. And Adrian Newey is an artiste. He doesn't want that. He wants freedom and the ability to leave a bit of a mess on the table while he goes and thinks of another idea. He wants to be able to draw something on a canvas and have a messy office space, and that's full of inspiration and books and goodness knows what. He's a creative. He's the opposite of Ron Dennis, and he's the opposite of the suits at Ferrari. And he still managed to get what he wanted out of Ron Dennis because he was so talented and he was so good at what he was doing that all of that got pushed to one side, and it's like, okay, do what you want. And then look at, you know, the rest is history. Look at the success McLaren had for all those years while Adrian Newey was there.
But does he want to go somewhere where he's achieving things despite the team, or where he's achieving things as a cohesive part of a team, you know?
But I would argue that that Ferrari would adapt for him. I think
I'd like to think
so. So desperate for success at this point that I think they will throw absolutely, they will give him whatever he wants. And especially environment wise, work wise, I think Ferrari are going to absolutely send it and offer him the earth and more. But it's down to what he wants to do. And the thing as well is that he's already worked with Aston Martin, he's already done the Valkyrie, he's already. Admittedly, it was a different beast then, and there was different ownership and different management and stuff then, but still, that project didn't go great. The Valkyrie took a long time to develop, longer than it should have, and engine-wise, they never really got it where they wanted it either, I don't think. They had a lot of complications and a lot of... It was a big struggle for him. It was a hard time, I think, for the design team who made that car. And I think the other thing Ferrari can give is an LMP... Well, a hypercar program in Le Mans series. So
yeah, that's true.
There's the additional kind of, there's a few different plates they could offer him to spin and a few different insights he could
give. Well, they're going to have the same thing.
It's true, but Ferrari have got a program up and running, ready to go, and you're going to be going in there and you're going to be making a difference to lots and lots of things inside of a really, really big team really quickly. So if I was Adrian Newey, Ferrari would be the way I'd go. I don't think I'd necessarily follow the cash, but I think Aston is the cash option. Ferrari is the creative option. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can see that. There is another big implication, which we probably won't dive too deep into right now, which is whether this has an effect on Verstappen staying with Red Bull. There's been a lot of swirling around whether he's going to stay, because he does have a contract until the end of the 2028 season, but we all know what F1 contracts are worth. I'm sure he's got many release clauses, and I wouldn't be surprised if Adrian Newey and or Helmut Marko leaving the team would be one of those exit clauses for him.
Helmut definitely is, which is why the board for Red Bull have been backing Helmut over over Horner. Or part of the board have been backing, the more powerful part, I guess, of the board have been backing Helmut, because they don't want to lose Max Verstappen. It's almost like Helmut can be the sinful granddad and do whatever he wants, because he's got that safety net of if they lose Helmut, they're losing Verstappen.
Yeah.
I think that's why he gets away with some of the stuff he does, why the team never really argue against Helmut, because they don't want to upset him and make him go away, because if they do that, there's a strong chance they'll lose their driver. And I think Verstappen's even gone on the record and says he's aligned with Helmut Marko, which is why it took him so long to... Well, I mean, he's yet to come out and publicly back Christian Horner, isn't he, as far as I'm aware?
Yeah. He's very much aligned with Marko primarily.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's a bigger conversation for another day, because there's a lot of play there. And
yeah.
It's all very much hearsay at this point.
Let's wait. Just wait until that happens, and then we can come up with some random news story that's way less interesting, and use
and
that.
I can
joke
do the
again.
Same
that
joke. Yeah,
yeah, it'd be great.
One thing we do know for certain is that Nico Hülkenberg is joining Audi next season, presumably on a multi-year deal. It's very much being reported as an Audi signing, not a Sauber signing, as they will still be next year. Yeah. I've grabbed a bit of inbox to open the discussion on Hülkenberg. Benson says, hey man, do you think that Sauber/Audi signing Hulk for 25 is a great idea to get an experienced driver in to help develop the car, or is it a case of national pride and the man with the most race starts and no podiums is just a placeholder until someone better becomes available?
Interesting question.
Somewhere in between the two. somewhere in the middle of that. Like, Audi are definitely it's similar to Ferrari in the way that if they can have a driver of their team's nationality in the car, and Alpine for that matter as well, like Renault and Alpine, like if they can get a driver from their home country where they sort of have the team officially registered, like where their identity is from, it's always a massive win for them. So I think being able to get someone that's pretty experienced and he's clearly capable of like trying to pull a team in the right direction, even with one with limited resources like Haas, I think it's a bit of a best of both worlds. Like, he's got the experience and he can help move them in the right direction, but equally so could have Bottas if they'd have kept hold of Bottas in theory.
Yeah,
but there's the element of he's worked with Audi a lot in the past, and
It's
that whole thing of, you know, German driver in a German team. Like, you know, there's a reason that Mercedes had Rosberg and Schumacher for the first stint of their period. Like, teams just love that synergy of where a team of X nationality and at least one of our drivers is also of that nationality. Like, it's
good for marketing.
It's a nice box tick, isn't it? Yeah, in that sense.
Yeah. I think it is. I suppose we've said it on here before, and there is some sort of like, it's another thing I can't quite put my finger on, but there is something sort of oddly satisfying about a German team having a German driver, a British team having a British driver, an Italian team having an Italian driver. Say that with your after 10 pints. There is something oddly satisfying about that, but at the end, I think the real focus is on sort of, I think it's a steady hand to get him off the ground, and then he'll be there. He's probably a bit of a placeholder, and I think once they've sort of got a bit of a development path and they've got a better understanding of what they've gotten themselves into, then they'll be sort of moving. I mean, they really ought to be. The kind of team that's got a young driver program and they're bringing people up from lower ranks, and think, you know, they're a huge, 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 huge team. They're going to be a massive, massive Formula One team. So, I mean, you know, Mercedes, Ferrari level team, they should be.
I mean, you've only got to look at everywhere else. Like, they've entered WEC, won it. They've entered Formula E, won it. Dakar, won it. DTM, won it. Like, they
don't. It's almost like they've completed motorsport.
Yeah. They're just ticking them off at this point.
Yeah.
I definitely don't think they're looking at Hülkenberg going, he's there ready for when we've got a world championship winning car. He is he's a solid pair of hands. He's a known quantity. Like, in his time at Haas and in those like stand-ins he did for Racing Point a few years back, like, you can put him in a car and he's going to do what that car is capable of. Like, he's had these kind of standout performances this season in particular, where he's been getting into Q3 and he's picked up a few points. I don't necessarily think that's him doing something incredibly spectacular. I think that's him doing a really good job and getting the most out of the car. And I think for where Audi are going to be, that's probably a good choice. We'll do another quick inbox.
Another inbox dip for us?
Yeah, we've got more inbox here than we have in the inbox. The grid report asks who's getting the second seat at Sauber. Because obviously this now means at least one of Bottas and Zhou are out of that team.
Yeah.
They also have Tao Pourchaire, who has been their reserve driver for a couple of years now, constantly promised an F1 seat, it seems, and still yet to get one.
Yeah.
Do we think any of those three are going to get the second seat?
I wouldn't be surprised to maybe see Bottas stay for at least the first season. Just to have somebody that already knows the team, in the same reason that they're looking at Hulkenberg, like, it's, you know, someone who's been around the sport a while. But it's really going to depend on, in that scenario, would Mercedes consider having him back, like, to fill the gap behind Hamilton? There's like a bit of a thing waiting to happen there that will dictate whether they keep go or look elsewhere.
I don't think Mercedes are going to go for Bottas. I think they need to look forward, not back. I don't think Mercedes is a good place for Bottas either. I think he'd be a lot happier elsewhere. I don't think he's going to get a world championship drive at Mercedes, is he? So
I think if Mercedes signed Bottas, it would be a 1 year swan song to end your career kind of thing. The thing is, and again, I'm saying this as the resident Bottas fan on this podcast, if you want to keep Valtteri Bottas, you're not signing Nico Hülkenberg, because I think they're kind of the same driver in many ways. Yeah. Like, yeah. I think
they're journeyman drivers in a way.
Yeah, if you wanted a driver to do that job, you'd just keep Bottas. You wouldn't have both of them. So I think Bottas is gone, to be honest.
I don't know how likely. I feel like the Pourchaire thing is at the moment, because of this whole thing going on for him at the minute with IndyCar. Like, there's literally a seat opened up for him at McLaren now, which it sounds like he's going to potentially fill for the rest of the IndyCar season. And, I mean, yes, he's possibly just saying the right things to make sure he gets the drive, but, you know, he's made various comments along the lines of, like, how much he enjoyed it already just from his brief experience there, and he wants to get a proper shot at it and maybe spend some time there. And, I mean, fair play to the kid. Like, if he thinks that he's got a better shot at having a long career in IndyCar rather than kind of just sitting around hoping that a Formula One team will make a space for him, then have at it. And I think that maybe puts doubts for me of whether he'd end up at Audi, just because of that whole scenario that's kind of been playing out over the last, like, what, 5-6 days it's been, hasn't it, since all this has kind of kicked off with McLaren. So yeah, I think that, I'm not saying it rules him out completely, but I think it sort of, it makes him less of an option for them.
Yeah. I think given the Chinese Grand Prix back on the calendar and the reception Zhou got there and the way that place was packed out, I don't think it would be a terrible choice for them to keep Zhou around for an extra year.
I don't know how much of that was Zhou and how much of that was the first Chinese Grand Prix in 5 years.
It was definitely a bit of both, but you know, from a boring corporate point of view, having the only Chinese driver on the grid when China is such an enormous market to be selling your cars and stuff is not a bad thing.
That's true. That's a fair point. That is a fair point. But my heart says no to that one, I'm afraid. I think I don't know who gets that second seat. And at the moment, I'm kind of like, I'm not too fussed who gets it.
I still stick with one of my earlier calls, which is the Sainz thing from when Sainz left Ferrari. Sainz and Hülkenberg would be probably a good partnership to get that team off the ground.
Yeah, very solid line.
And Hülkenberg as a signing is very much like we've already said, sort of, he's a journeyman with a decent amount of experience that if you give him a decent car, he will bring it home within the point. Like, he's not a multi-race winner, he's not like a constant podium sitter, we know that, but while they're developing that car and pushing it in the right directions for a Sainz, for example, who we know can go out there and get the best out of a car and win races and so on, then, you know, if Hülkenberg's just picking up good points somewhere behind him, that's enough for Audi at that point.
If Audi is serious about having a good Formula One team, then it's Sainz and it's Hülkenberg. If this is a marketing exercise for Ferrari, then it's Guan Yu Zhou. How about that?
And not Sainz and Hülkenberg both have previous experience working with Andreas Seidel as well. And the way things have gone over the last few months, it's very much his team now. Like, he's really calling the shots at that place. So
yeah,
I can see it happening.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That obviously also leaves a vacancy at Pass, which I think we all agree is pretty much a shoo-in for Ollie Bearman at this point.
Probably.
Yeah.
With he did Ferrari well. He did well in Saudi Arabia, didn't he?
Yeah. Haas have always been very impressed with him when he's done FP1s and tests for them as well. So I think he's probably going to get that seat. I think Magnussen might have been in a little bit of trouble, but now I think this probably saves Magnussen's seat for another year.
Possibly. I think it depends how the rest of his season goes. I think
certainly safer than it was.
Safer than it was, but certainly not rock solid. There's a chance he could be gone, I think, still. But who replaces him? If you've got Bearman and you've got someone else, then who replaces Magnussen? He's probably the steadiest hand they've got compared with Bearman. But
unless they pick up like an Ocon or a Gasly, but again, are you really gaining or losing anything?
You're just revolving door of low end drivers, really, aren't you? Then I think.
Yeah. Paul in the chat suggested Bottas, which is not an impossibility.
Don't hate it.
Yeah.
Again, but is Bottas even going to go for that? But I think I'd retire before going from Sauber to Haas.
Depends if he wants to just be one of these drivers that sticks around as long as someone will have him, or whether he's ready to do other things, I suppose, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's
depends how much he wants to emulate Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah,
and just turn up as a hobby just to have fun and drive around.
Hobbyist journeyman Valtteri Bottas.
Mm.
Right, should we move on and chat a little bit about Miami?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we should.
It's the Miami Grand Prix this weekend.
It is.
It's another sprint.
And no one cares, because we're all much more interested in where Adrian Newey's
going.
Yeah,
I know, right? no one cares about it being a sprint either. I mean, hopefully we'll get a sprint quali half as exciting as we did in China. That would be nice, but...
Bit of rain will help, won't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really... We've had two pretty dull races there, so having more racing on that track doesn't fill me with excitement.
Yeah.
No, I'm more excited about the whatever madness is going to ensue, like after the checkered flag drops, or at whatever point during the weekend. Like, are they keeping the dry dock kind of thing that they had? Like,
will we continue
that sort
to
of
get
craziness,
weird NFL nonsense?
Yeah,
we do have major upgrade packages for McLaren and Mercedes this weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, McLaren, who were the second fastest team at the last race, so very promising for them. Mercedes, who even knows what the pace of that car is at this point in time.
Yeah.
This is just finger in the air, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, A, if that moves McLaren any closer to Red Bull, and B, where McLaren and Ferrari kind of shake out against each other now after that.
Well, and let's not play it down. It is interesting to see where Mercedes end up as well.
It is.
Don't put a finger in the air. Put a thermometer in the air. if it's nice and cool, they'll probably do an all right job. If it's hot, then I imagine. Well, I mean, admittedly, it's a lottery, but there could be a factor. If they get it right, there could be a factor.
Yeah.
Not for the win, but certainly among that sort of second tier after Red Bull, the bottom. The top four, the second from top four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would wager it's probably likely to be the hottest race of the season so far. So that'll really test the, have Ferrari fix their tyre munching problems.
Which we think they have.
We think they have, but this will be a good test of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another storyline to keep an eye on is Logan Sargeant. Technically he has three home races. This is the most home of his home races, because he is from Florida. There are rumours swirling around that he might not even make the end of the season. That as soon as Kimi Antonelli turns 18, which I believe is just before Monza, Mercedes are going to try and convince Williams to put him in the car. So Logan very much needs to put a result together. Like he's had, there's been moments this season, like the last race he was doing pretty well until it all fell apart kind of out of his control. Like the ingredients are there for him. He needs to put it all together and do something. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm running out of faith with, I've tried to fly the Logan Sargeant flag for a couple of seasons now, but it's getting harder and harder.
Yeah. That pole weighs heavier and heavier and heavier in your hand.
It does.
he'll be gone by the end of the season. I don't think he's going to going to last, sadly. Yeah.
We've also got the return of F1 Academy this weekend, which is
yay,
was very entertaining in Saudi Arabia. Hopefully someone can put up a fight at least on track to Dorian Penn, who just dominated on track at least. And there was the whole extra couple of racing laps incident, but we'll not talk about that.
I mean, they're kind of following the trajectory of Formula One to the letter almost, aren't they? Dominant driver, everyone else just battling it out behind them.
But yeah, if you didn't watch that in Saudi Arabia, definitely worth giving that a watch, because there was some really good racing in that. And then a final thing, can you tell we're struggling for on-track stuff to talk about this week? The Ferrari's gonna be blue, a bit blue.
Oh, is it
all blue? They're doing
no
something
one really
blue.
Knows, do they? There's, you know, yeah. There will be blue on the car, they've said,
like,
which that, means there'll be like a tiny bit of blue on the car, and the drivers will have blue overalls or something.
Yeah, so they've shown off the race suits, and they're entirely kind of a baby blue. Both drivers are gonna have a blue helmet. So yeah, I'm very much waiting for it to still be a red car with like two blue stripes or something.
Or it'll have like a horrible blue Ferrari logo against a red background or something.
Probably,
Lovely.
Mm. They've got a new name as well, Ferrari. They're now title sponsored by HP.
Oh, yeah.
The technology company, not the source company. and they've said the blue thing is nothing to do with their new sponsor. It's because it's like, it's something like 50 years of Ferrari selling cars in America or something like that. But I'm sure the fact that their new title sponsor has a blue logo is just a complete happy coincidence.
And they've mentioned like Dino Blue and another, I think maybe Azuri Blue or something like that.
Yeah, they have. Ferrari do have history of racing in blue, so it's... I hope they do something actually cool with it and not just...
I hope so. Fun fact, Mercedes are also sponsored by Hewlett-Packard.
Oh,
which is HP, yeah. But Mercedes are sponsored by the sort of cloud computing arm, and Ferrari is sponsored by like the actual physical computer sort of side of it, it looks like. And they are technically completely separate businesses. But owned by the same conglomerate.
Shall we stop padding for time and do some predictions?
Yes. I want to run us through some preds. So if you want to get involved with this, make sure you head to backofthegrid.com. All the info to register and get involved is there. And it's always worth doing, because if you do get all five of these predictions right over a race weekend, you win a prize. There's also links on there to the fantasy leagues. If you want to enter your teams into any of them, get on to backofthegrid.com. Right, let's go through our predictions, gentlemen. Fastest in Q3. Any takers
Max
on anything that's not Verstappen? Anyone got anything to say that's not Verstappen?
No. Max Verstappen. And I'll have Max Verstappen for the win as well while we're at it.
I think it is Max Verstappen.
I'm going double Max.
Yeah.
Shall I write this in?
I can't write in. I was trying to just avoid it so that you didn't have to edit it out. But now you're going to have to edit it out.
Oh, what the hell? It's not working.
Chris hasn't given his edit access.
Oh my god. Ah, well. Oh. It's okay. We can just talk. This is
I guess
staining.
I'll do this then.
It's content.
Right. Are we all going Verstappen?
Yeah.
We are, yeah.
Stu wants a Verstappen win. Tom, your winner?
I'm going to go Leclerc, just for something a bit different.
I kind of...
do you want to score points? Or do you, are you trying to give away points?
I don't care.
Well, that's the wrong attitude, not caring.
I keep picking the clear and when, it keeps not doing
when it happens and you don't get any points, I can come back and just replay this clip back to you.
Fair. Okay. Fine. Straight into my inbox. Remember this from 5 minutes.
I'm
going
to say... Clipped. I'm saying Verstappen as well.
Okay. Okay. What about first DNF? Any takers there?
Logan Sargeant, I know what, home race. Yeah. Why the hell not?
That's the easiest and obvious one. Yeah. I'm going to go for one of the Hasses on a similar sort of reasoning and just say Magnussen.
Logical. Makes sense.
I'll go for the other one. Hülkenberg's got his nice new contract and he'll celebrate with a first lap DNF.
Nice. What about a number of finishers? I'll throw mine out there first and say 16. The old faithful.
I'll have 17, please.
I'll keep that train going and say 18 then.
Yeah, you just need to write 17 for me and 16 for Tom.
Yeah. All good.
And also put it in the correct box.
Yeah.
Could you put it in the random driver box?
Tell us who the random driver is.
Yeah. See, Chris, this is what happens.
What's going on in this box?
If you had made me an editor, you would not have this problem. It shows how high pressure it is, doesn't it? Having to host the predictions and type in the boxes at the same time.
Random drivers, Oscar Piastri.
Such rubbish content.
You need to somehow.
Piastri. McLaren upgrade. McLaren with the second fastest car last time.
Sixth. I got bored of Stu filibustering, so sixth.
Oh, you think sixth?
Yeah.
I'm going to say he's a bit slower than Norris at the moment, so I'm going to go fourth. I'm going to go two Red Bulls and two McLarens. And it'll be the slowest of the set.
I think I'm going to agree with Tom and say sixth. I think Ferrari are still going to be up and around there.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think that's... I mean, I've got Leclerc down as a winner, so I'm assuming so. so as I said before, head to backthrough.com if you want to get involved and submit yours. Predictions will close at the start of sprint qualifying, as we did last time for the sprint race due to the new format. So make sure you get your predictions in before 9:30 p.m. on Friday if you're UK-based. Please adjust accordingly for your time zone as appropriate.
Cool.
Inbox.
Final bit.
Keep it saying now. Stay out. Inbox. Hey, man.
I'll do this one. Just the one because we've already done it all throughout the show. Charlotte Taylor says, will we go a full season without seeing Lewis Hamilton on the podium? And she says that the sprint race doesn't count.
I mean, on current form...
That he was on the podium for.
Yeah. Well, no, they don't have a podium, do they, for the sprint race?
Oh, come on. So... Any race anyone has, the top three is a podium, isn't it?
Races that matter, then. How about that?
Okay, races that matter. Races that people want to see, not fake races.
Races that you're allowed to call a race.
Yeah.
Because you're not allowed to call the sprint a race.
It's a sprint TM. I mean, based on current form... This season is 7th, 9th, retired 9th, 9th, which ain't great.
It's a long old season though, isn't it? My head says there'll be some wet race that he nails and gets a podium.
He has a habit of nicking them, doesn't he?
Yeah, he'll nick a podium. He's always been one of those drivers who, I mean, back when he was winning races, he was winning races that he had absolutely no business winning. He was losing tyres at Silverstone and still winning, getting punctures and still winning races. So, there's nothing to stop him, you know, getting a cheeky podium here and there if there's some weather around.
Yeah, I think the whole move to Ferrari thing is maybe just going to cloud any of that opportunity, so I'm going to say no.
Chris?
I think he'll nick one. I don't think he'll get a win, even though one of my preseason predictions was that he will win another race. I actually now don't think he'll get a win this season. But I think he'll nick a podium or two.
I mean, you've seen the car now, so that's allowable. Andy's announced he's going to Ferrari now, so again, that's allowable.
Yeah. I'll throw one more little question in there to finish us off. Will Adrian Newey see any podiums after he leaves Red Bull to round us off?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think he will as well.
He'll be on them.
Assuming he continues to work in Formula One, then yeah, he will.
Yeah. Right, that just about wraps us up for this week. So we will be back next week. It's a bank holiday in the UK next week, so I'm not sure if we're recording Monday or Tuesday yet, but we will be back early next week to review the Miami Grand Prix. As ever, you can go to backthegrid.com to enter your predictions for the Predictions League and also find links to the various fantasy leagues and stuff. Don't forget, as Tom mentioned, that predictions will be closing before sprint qualifying on Friday. But I think that is everything. Oh, if you want to get involved with the Discord and all our lovely friends there, you can go to patreon.com/backthegrid to find out how to do that. But that really is it. So until next week, thanks as ever for joining us and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.